Voters of Shasta County, it's time that we get educated and informed as voters. With elections right around the corner, it's time we keep our focus on what's really important for Shasta County. Seeking common ground, truth and transparency, pro-business, practical solutions, community first, responsive local government, law and order, and most importantly, electing qualified candidates. Visit ShastaVote.com for more information on how you can support pro-business, pro-safety, and pro-community leadership. Enough with all this chaos. We want and desperately need leadership with experience and hearts for our community. Ad paid for by ShastaVote, informing voters and electing qualified candidates. Supporting Bridget for district attorney, Johnson for sheriff, Darling Allen for clerk, Flores for superintendent, Browning and Resner for supervisor 2022. Committee major funding from Sierra Pacific Industries, not authorized by a candidate or a committee controlled by a candidate.
He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. May 11, 1991. It's when our son Chase was born. He's a wonderful young man. The family is very, very proud of him. We all are. And I just want to wish him the happiest of happy birthdays. I love you very much, son. And he's just a fantastic young man with such a wonderful future. We're very lucky with all of our kids. They're all fantastic. And two grandkids, too. I need to start this over again. Janet Yellen, Secretary of Treasury. By the way, we will have a guest on the program, Dave McCormick, who's running for the Republican nomination, as you may know, for the Senate in Pennsylvania. Friday, we will have Dr. Oz. I have no doubt that at approximately 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, they will be cut off by something in our system that our engineers have yet to figure out and that top executives apparently don't give a damn about. So we do the best we can here with toothpaste and Band-Aids, and tape to try and keep this show on the air. Janet Yellen, cut one, go.
Well, I believe that eliminating the right of women to make decisions about when and whether to have children would have very damaging effects on the economy and would set women back decades. Roe v. Wade and access to reproductive health care, including abortion, helped lead to increased labor force participation. It enabled many women to finish school. That increased their earning potential. It allowed women to plan and balance their families and careers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Senator Tim Scott heard this response to Senator Menendez of New Jersey. And here's his response. Cut to go.
Some of your comments in response to Bob's question I found troubling. And just from a clarity's sake, did you say that ending the life of a child is good for the labor force participation rate? Giving someone the access, let me just quote what you said, that ultimately increasing access to abortion and reproductive health care allows for our labor force participation rate to continue to increase, that denying women access to abortion increases their odds of living in poverty or need for public assistance as a guy who was raised by a single mom who worked long hours to keep us out of poverty. I think people can disagree on the issue of being pro-life or or pro-abortion, but in the end, I think framing it in the context of labor force participation is, it just feels calloused to me. I think finding a way to have a debate around abortion in a meeting for the economic stability of our country is harsh. And I'm just surprised that we find ways to weave into every facet of our lives such an important and painful reality for so many people to make it sound like it's just another 0.4% added to our labor force participation as a result of the issue of abortion, just to me seems harsh.
Well, I certainly don't mean to say what I think the effects are in a manner that's harsh. What we're talking about is whether or not women will have the ability to regulate their reproductive situation in ways that will enable them to plan lives that are fulfilling and satisfying for them. And one aspect of a satisfying life is being able to feel that you have the financial resources to raise a child, that the children you bring into the world are wanted, and that you have the ability to take care of them. In many cases, abortions are of teenage women, particularly low income and often black, who aren't in a position to be able to care for children, have unexpected pregnancies, and it deprives them of the ability often to continue their education to later participate in the workforce. So there is a spillover into labor force participation, and it means that children will grow up in poverty and do worse themselves.
Thank you. Let me just say my time on the topic.
This is the truth.
I'll just simply say that as a guy raised by a black woman in abject poverty, I'm thankful to be here as a United States Senator.
Just listen to how she was droning on, matter-of-factly. No big deal. And look how they twist it, where they're the ones who are righteous and caring and humane, when they're the opposite. And these children, she knows for sure they're going to grow up in poverty and do worse themselves. And you have Senator Scott, who, by the way, is very, very impressive to me. The more I get to hear him, the more I get to know about him. I'm just saying. And Clarence Thomas and so many people in this country, and not just black people, but people of all backgrounds, people pouring into this country legally as immigrants. The stories are endless. They're infinite of how people came to this country with absolutely nothing and made something of themselves because of liberty. Because of liberty. And here you have Yellen. She can predict. So abortion is ideological with these people. It's absolutely ideological. And there's only one person, and people who follow the science and their faith, and know it's not one person. You see what I'm saying? The people of faith who know it's not one person and are also following the science know that we're talking about two people. And this needs to be made abundantly clear. We are the ones following the science as well as our God. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right, I said it. Let me educate you about this. Banks are now required to spy on us for the government, and they report any behavior they think is suspicious. Man, oh man, I was shocked as I read The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. This new war against cash is really a war against the Constitution, against all freedom-loving Americans. So listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Get your free copy, by calling 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646, or visit SwissAmerica.com. Now, this war on cash is growing daily, and it also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get and read The Secret War on Cash, free to my listeners, by calling right now, 800-289-2646, 800-289-2646.
Mark Levin.
Ooh, he sounds like he's tall.
On the Mark Levin Radio Show.
Dave McCormick is running and running hard to be the nominee of the Republican Party for the United States Senate in Pennsylvania. And he's one of the leaders of the pack. And, Dave, it's good to have you back. Where do things stand?
Hey, Mark, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a dead sprint, you know. It's 6 days to go, and you can feel it. People told me that Pennsylvania sort of finishes late, and you can feel there's about 20% of the voters still deciding. You can feel people focus, I've been driving across the state today. I've done 5 or 6 stops. And listen, there people are mad about the direction of the country. They're scared about the American dream slipping away. They're pissed off about inflation and gas prices and fentanyl in our great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And they're looking for a fighter that's going to go to Washington and push back on this crazy weakness and wokeness. And so it's a tight race. In the polling, it looks very close among myself and Mehmet Oz and Kathy Barnett. And, you know, the race is going to be decided in the next 6 days. So it's exciting, and I feel like I'm getting good momentum, but it's all about execution.
You think you have a pretty good ground game? Because in the end, that's what I think it's going to take.
I think I do. Yeah. The reason I say that is I think we've recruited great folks in every county. And, you know, my approach to this from the very first day when we talked was I've had a lot of media and ads on TV, but I have literally been in this damn pickup truck and I've put 25,000 miles on it. I've driven to diners. Today I did 2 diners, a coffee shop, a VFW, and those stops are where you get the word of mouth, you get the local media hits, and you begin to build out this army of volunteers. So I feel good about it, but, this is my first time running. So, when I feel like I get in the room and talk to people, I feel like they're responding. I feel like, they're taking my message and I feel like I'm leaving with their vote. But, you know, we got a long way to go.
This is how a lot of politicians who were really, first time runners. They weren't politicians to begin with. This is how many of them get elected, you know, going and doing the kind of grassroots, meeting people, speaking to people, small groups, churches, you know, restaurants and diners and so forth. This is how many of them have gotten elected. And so this is your plan, I take it.
This is my plan. And, you know, you learn, I've never run for anything. So you learn pretty quickly whether you like it. And I like it. I every day, I meet somebody who inspires me. Today, I met a guy who was in his 80s who I discovered was a distant relative. I meet all sorts of great folks. And if you give me a minute, I get inspired too. And, not about a month into the campaign, I did a diner and there was an elderly woman who stood up at the end and she thanked me for my service and she said she thought I was going to win and she'd been learning about me. And then she told me this story of her son, Michael Wargo, who was volunteered for after 9/11 and went to Afghanistan and came back and struggled and sadly took his life. And then at the end of the story, she started to cry. I started to cry. She said, when you get to Washington, you got to fix this. 22 veterans a day kill themselves. What a disgrace, which I believe it is a disgrace. And then she handed me this gold star. Gold Star families get. And she said, you keep that in your pocket and you don't forget. So I'm carrying that with me. I take it with it wherever I go, Mark. And you hear things like that and you feel that and you're like, hey, this is so much bigger than me. This is about trying to, you know, help and bring leadership to our great Commonwealth. And, you know, people say, oh, isn't it hard? And, it must suck with all the negativity. And my response is, compared to what? Compared to like, storming the beaches in Normandy. You know, there's a lot of people who have done a lot for this great country, so I'm trying to do my small part.
And you are a combat vet, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So my tagline for my campaign is Battle Tested Pennsylvania True. I grew up in a small town of Pennsylvania. I went to West Point and wrestled there. I was a co-captain of the wrestling team. And then 82nd Airborne Division and Gulf War. I went to Ranger School. And then I came back to Pennsylvania. And so the thing I tell people on the campaign trail is, listen, all you need to know about me are from those first 28 years. You know, the Judeo-Christian Pennsylvania values I learned growing up in Bloomsburg, duty, honor, country I learned at West Point, and the exceptionalism of America that I saw firsthand in the 82nd Airborne Division, where you have these young kids who are willing to put it all on the line for our country. And those are the values that I've carried on throughout my life. And those are the values that I want to bring to the Senate on behalf of Pennsylvania.
And, this race is, as they say, very, very tight. There's really three of you at the head of the pack. Are you disappointed by this? Do you feel you should be way ahead? You've had a lot of endorsements and so forth. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, I think the stakes on this are so high for this seat. It not only will determine, Mark, whether we have a strong conservative leader in the Senate on behalf of Pennsylvania, it'll determine whether the Senate is led by conservatives. So, you know, in terms of think of our lifetime, this is one of the most important Senate races that we've encountered. And people say that about lots of Senate races, but this one's important. And so, you know, it was always going to be hard. It was always going to have a lot of money thrown at it. And so the voters have to pick someone, in my opinion, who A, shares their values, believes the things they believe and is going to fight like hell, for those values in Washington. But two, someone who can succeed in the general election. This is going to be a $500 million race, Mark, as grotesque Jeez. As that sounds. Chuck Schumer will put in everything he can to help the Democrat win this. Our side will need to put a lot of money in. This is going to be like welcome to the NFL. This is going to be a big race. So we got to have someone representing Pennsylvania in this race who is tough, resilient, can marshal the resources, build a great team, and win. And somebody's got the credibility to do that. And then, most important, winning is not the goal. Getting to the Senate and being a fighter on America First priorities, someone who has the experience and the credibility to deal with inflation and deal with the pushback on the socialist policies of Joe Biden, someone who can fight to secure the border on day one, someone who understands what's going on in Ukraine or who has experience that can help lead the charge and going toe-to-toe with China. So those are the three criteria, and I believe that I am the best candidate on all three of those criteria, and I'm running my campaign positively with a lot of energy. I am trying to make the contrast clear from my opponents, Mehmet Oz and Kathy Barnett and the others, on those three criteria and why I believe I'm the strongest candidate. And, you know, the voters will decide. This is as proud as I am of the endorsements that I've had from, you know, Mike Pompeo and Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee and Bob Lighthizer, who led the charge on President Trump's China policy. As proud as I am of those endorsements, this is really not about endorsements. This is about the people of Pennsylvania picking the person that gives them comfort is going to be able to succeed on all those things we just talked about.
And the Democrats are going to nominate the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, who's a lunatic. He's a Bernie Sanders guy, but absolutely a lunatic, as radical as anybody who has ever run for the United States Senate. And it's going to be absolutely crucial that he be defeated. How do you think you'd pair up against him?
We got to win this for just the reason you said. He is a socialist. He's an extreme leftist. But like Bernie Sanders, he's got a following. And he's raised an enormous amount of money, and he will raise a lot of money nationally. And so I think there's two ways we beat John Fetterman, two ways I beat John Fetterman. First, on ideas. Our ideas are better. You know, everybody, Democrats and Republicans alike, are experiencing the inflation, the overrun of our border, the lack of sovereignty, what it's doing to crime.
I didn't handle the time very well. Can you hold over the break, Dave McCormick? All right, I'm sorry. I want to go back to that question, how you size up against this lunatic, because it's going to be very, very important that they lose and we win. We'll be right back with Dave McCormick.
Bill O'Reilly here. My new book, Killing the Killers, The Secret War Against Terrorists, is the best reporting I've done in my career. Every day, the USA is on the hunt to neutralize terror killers all over the world. But how this war is actually being waged has been a mystery until now. Killing the Killers will keep you turning the pages, as all the killing books do. Available now at Amazon, BillO'Reilly.com, and bookstores everywhere.
Paid for by St. Martin's Press. This is jaw-dropping.
2,000 Mules, the shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza. Cell phone geo-tracking tells the truth behind the 2020 election conspiracy.
Philadelphia alone, we've identified more than 1,100 mules. This is organized crime.
They have ruined Election Day in the United States of America. That's provable.
See the proof for yourself. 2,000 Mules. Watch it or buy it today at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
This is Baron Browning. I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor to make sure the worst wildfires we faced stay in the past. Like you, I've witnessed the aftermath of fires, millions of dollars in destruction of property, endless loss of natural beauty, and the needless lives of heroes taken. No one should have to live in fear their home will burn down. With your vote, we'll combat wildfire together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axreptheater.com.
McPA.com. All right, yep. how do you size up against this lieutenant governor from Pennsylvania, this Bernie Sanders lunatic?
Yeah, listen, I think it's absolutely critical we beat this guy. I mean, he would be a disaster for the country, a disaster for Pennsylvania. As you said, he's left of Bernie Sanders, and the first way we fight him is on ideas. Our ideas, our conservative ideas, are better. We saw that under President Trump. We saw that under a great economic recovery. We saw what pro-growth policies do. We saw what economic or deregulation does, a focus on working families, fair trade, energy dominance. All those policies had our country in Pennsylvania going in a great direction. And we have to rub Fetterman's nose in that and force him to deal with the fact that the ideas that he's promoting or that Joe Biden's promoting are failing. They're failing Americans, they're failing Pennsylvanians, and not just failing Republicans, they're failing Democrats too. So make the case, show that the ideas are failed, and make him own those ideas or distance himself from those ideas. Either approach is good for us and good for us winning this election. The second thing is contrast on who he is. So he's a big guy, tattoos, sort of walks around like a badass. And the truth of the matter is that he grew up with a trust fund and ended up going to Harvard. By the way, I'm not criticizing for that, but that's just different than his persona. And here you have me that grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, went to West Point, 82nd Airborne Division Ranger. I like that matchup between the guy who pretends he's a badass and the guy that is a badass. And that is the contrast that I would want to create with him on the campaign trail. And I think we can appeal to conservative Democrats. I think we can appeal to minorities because the Biden administration's policies have been so disastrous for our minority communities in Philadelphia and around Pennsylvania. And so we got to be tough, relentless, resilient, and take it to them on ideas and bio and fight. I mean, this is going to be a hell of a fight. It's going to be a big race, and we need someone in there who can fight and has a track record of fighting and winning.
Remind everybody, particularly in Pennsylvania, but those who vote in Pennsylvania, when is Election Day again? It's been going on, hasn't it?
Election Day, May 17th, next Tuesday. And, you know, I'm honored to be on your show as always, Mark. And if you allow me, I just want to ask your listeners for the vote. I'm out there campaigning. I'm throwing everything I got into this because I think I'm the right man for the job. I think the stakes could not be higher. I think people that have been blessed by all that this great country has to offer and Pennsylvania has to offer, like I have been, have an obligation to serve. I've served all my life, and I'd be privileged to have this job. And so I'm asking for their vote. It's going to be close, and I think I'm the right man for the job for all the reasons I've said.
And you've term limited yourself should you win, correct?
I have indeed. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've said that from the very first day. You know, if I'm fortunate enough to be elected, I'll serve two terms. And I've had a number of people say, well, that's a terrible idea because you won't have seniority and, you know, you won't really be able to have the impact you could have until the third term or fourth. And I just thought to myself, what a terrible view of our political system that if you went there for 12 years and gave everything you had to it, that you couldn't make a difference because of the system or the seniority or whatever. So I'm going to break glass. I'm going to someone who doesn't owe anybody anything, someone who thinks our system is broken and we need to fight back against the bad ideas, the terrible leadership and the woke stuff that we're seeing. And if I can't do that in two terms, then I think we probably have the wrong senator.
You know, I have friends all over the place in this election. One of them is Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum served two terms in Pennsylvania. And you know, it's a funny thing. I think Rick was way ahead of his time when he would talk about the working class, the middle class, reaching over the Democrats. I think this is something Ronald Reagan did as well, very, very effectively. It wasn't about pandering. It's just that their arguments and their policies – embraced, you know, a whole swath of people that Republicans haven't embraced before. I'm seriously curious. Who is he endorsing? Anybody?
Yes. Well, I should have said that because I was so honored by it. Rick Santorum has endorsed me. He's been a friend for years. And he endorsed me because he thinks I'm the right man for the job and I've got the right conservative views, both my views on policy, but also my social conservative views on questions of abortion and life and so forth. So he's supported me. We've done a rally together recently and he's been a great friend. And I agree with you 100%. He was ahead of his time and we've talked about that. That was part of his appeal where he really understood working America and he understood that those people in Pennsylvania who had been forgotten, and to his credit, so did President Trump. I mean, he tapped into that sense of millions of Pennsylvanians who felt forgotten, that the system was screwing them, whether it was a free trade or 20 years of war, two decades of war that, you know, doesn't happen in the beautiful suburbs. It happens in these small, gritty towns where those kids go to war. The technology revolution left them behind, trade with China and or the border. President Trump put his finger on that, and that's why when I say I'm running on America First policies, I think President Trump had those policies right, mm-hmm. and I want to build on that and be a leader on that agenda in the Senate.
And Sean Parnell, who I originally endorsed, and that kind of fell apart. I honestly didn't know about Santorum. He has endorsed you as well, correct?
A great number, many dozens of great Pennsylvanians. Sean has been a particularly close friend. You know, we share the fact that we're both veterans. And I didn't know him, honestly, before he withdrew, but I called him and I said, you know, you're a great American and I feel bad that you've been dragged through this and, you know, let's get a beer at some point. And we did and we hit it off. And he's just been tireless in supporting my campaign. And, you know, he cares so deeply about Pennsylvania. He's got a bright future, in my opinion. And I've been grateful for his support. And he's as you say, very popular in Pennsylvania and just a great guy.
Meanwhile, the Democrat Party has lurched hard left. They have a Democrat running against the lieutenant governor, who's, I don't believe he is, but he's said to be sort of more moderate. And according to polls, he's getting crushed. So if moderate Democrats or conservative Democrats want to find a place to vote, they're going to need to vote Republican, aren't they?
I really think they are. And it's funny, we're having this conversation tonight, because I was literally in a diner this morning in Wilkes-Barre, and this guy came up to me and he said, you know, listen, we chatted, and he said, look, I'm going to vote for you. I'm excited to be behind you. And then he said, you know, until President Trump, I was a Democrat. And I flipped parties because I think that the Democratic Party, it's the old Reagan line, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left me. And I think a lot of people are feeling that. We've got, you know, there's a tradition of conservative Democrats in Pennsylvania. And I think we're going to have a lot of appeal to them because, again, our policies are better and the Democrats have gone off the deep end with these extreme policies that only appeal to a shrinking minority of Pennsylvanians.
All right, folks, this is Dave McCormick. You can find out more at DaveMcCormickPA.com. As I always point out, these state races have national implications because if the Democrats win the Senate, we're going to be in one hell of a fix here. So every one of these races is crucially important. I have a national show. That's why it's important that I bring on Dave McCormick and the programs heard throughout the country, throughout the state of Pennsylvania. By the way, do you ever hear anybody say, I heard you on the Mark Levin Show in Pennsylvania? I'm just curious.
I do. I hear that. And you've got big fans in Pennsylvania and just the people I want to talk to, which people that want to take back America.
All right. Well, God bless you, my friend. I wish you all the best, and we'll know soon enough. We want you to come back,
too. God bless you. I will. Thank you, Mark. God bless you, and thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Take care of yourself. All right. That's Dave McCormick running in the Republican primary for the Senate in Pennsylvania. We've got to win this seat, period. No question. We've got to win this seat. In life, well, you can count on three things, death, taxes, and your car breaking down. I can't do anything about the first two. Now, as for my car breaking down, that's why I have CarShield. When something goes wrong, I count on them to help save me from expensive repairs and so much more. When you need a repair, you don't have to deal with the paperwork or headaches. All you got to do is choose the mechanic to do the work and CarShield administrators handle the rest. You can also count on CarShield to help take care of you when your car breaks down and you're stuck on the side of the road. Get coverage today. Lock in your price. It'll never go up. Think about that. If you get coverage today and lock in your price, it can never go up. That means as long as you own your car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising cost of parts and repairs for your vehicle. And when your car breaks down, you can count on CarShield for help. Get coverage like I did. Go to carshield.com/Levin, carshield.com/LEVIN, or call 800-391-8888 to save 10% on your plan. That's carshield.com/Levin or 800-391-8888. Save 10% on your plan. Now, I am noticing as the Ukrainians are beginning to kick the ass of the Russian invaders that the Putinoids in our country are getting very upset. In fact, they're getting angry. In fact, they're making arguments like, why do we care about what's going on in Ukraine when we don't have enough baby formula? As if we weren't involved in helping Ukraine, we'd have enough baby formula. They seem to believe that Putin is the reason we don't have enough baby formula. That Putin is the reason that the shelves are emptying. That Putin is the reason that gas prices are up. No, the reason is Biden. And the reason's the Democrat Party. That Putin's the reason our southern border's open. Now, what kind of silliness is this? What kind of stupidity is this? And they're becoming more and more unrestrained in their propaganda, are the Putinoids. The stronger and stronger the Ukrainians are in trying to push the Russians out of their country. They're almost becoming hysterical with their idiotic arguments. If we weren't helping Ukraine, we'd still have a baby formula problem. If we weren't helping Ukraine, gas prices would still be going up. They've been going up long before the invasion in Ukraine. We'd still have inflation because all the spending took place a year ago. So stop listening to the Putinoids with their hemorrhoids. One Tokyo Rose was enough. That's not America first, ladies and gentlemen. It's Putin first. It's America last. No, I don't want us dragged into a military confrontation. But if Putin had been succeeding in taking out Ukraine, his eyes were set on Poland and Romania. How do we know? Read what he wrote, or somebody wrote for him. Thousands and thousands of words. Last summer, he tells us this. He says it. You don't have to believe me. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
Hi, I'm Erin Resner, and I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor in District 1. As a local business owner, mother of four, and current Reading City Council member, public safety is a top priority. That's why, while as acting mayor, I led the council in approving a crisis intervention response team within the Reading Police Department, which has successfully assisted many citizens in crisis. If you want to be part of creating a stronger and better Shasta County, then vote for me, Erin Resner, for Shasta County Supervisor on June 7th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Freshen up your home with spring decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
Mark Levin.
What good is it to be a genius if you can't even go out on a school night?
On the Mark Levin radio program.
A few decades ago, private citizens used to be largely that, private. So what changed? The internet. Everything you browsed, searched for, watched, or tweeted can now be collected and aggregated by third parties into a permanent public record. Your record. That's why to keep my data private, when I go online, I use ExpressVPN. There are hundreds of data brokers out there whose sole business is to buy and sell your data. They don't have to tell you who they're selling it to or get your consent, but ExpressVPN reroutes your connection through an encrypted server and masks your IP address, making it more difficult for third parties to identify you and harvest your data. Secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/mark and get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/mark. expressvpn.com/mark. I think I'm going to turn this over to you. I'm going to turn this over to somebody you're familiar with. Say hi.
How's it going, everyone?
Now, you know that voice. How much time do I have, Rich? 4 minutes. So I'm here with Don Jr., his beautiful Kimberly, Sergio, who works with Don Jr. and used to work with Rand Paul, and you're in Florida here. How much do you miss New York?
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit, Mark. I came to escape some of that insanity, whether it be tax code or otherwise, and now if you reversed it, I wouldn't go back.
Life is great down here, isn't it? The weather, the ocean, you can do it. You like to fish, right?
I love to fish, but I love the people. You know, I go to a restaurant here, and in New York you get a snide comment from your waiter, you get side-eye. Here, there, thank you so much for what you're doing. We believe in it. It's absolutely amazing. It's literally a different country, it feels like, from, you know, New York City, where I came from, and spent my whole life. You know, I don't say that with joy, but I literally didn't know that existed, Mark, and it's so palpable down here. I just love it.
Now, when I see your father here, now, I don't harass your dad. You know, other people who know him, call him, text. I leave the man alone. But when I see him, I can see he loves it. He loves it. He loves the atmosphere. He loves it down here, right?
100%. And I mean, he's the guy. I mean, he's like one of those guys that has like NYC for New York City in his acronym, right? He changed the skyline of that place. I mean, he moved there as a kid from Queens to change it. And for him to leave, that's no easy task. And he's also never going back. It's that crazy. And it just shows you what still exists in America. And it's just awesome. I love it.
And people leave you alone here. They're not trying to put you in jail. They don't care about your taxes. They're not. Look, even when I go to a place, people want to talk to you. They like you. It's just a lot of fun here. And it's very sad because New York used to be a great place. I mean, under Rudy Giuliani, it was a great city, wasn't it?
It was. It was safe. You could do everything. And it just shows you some of the, you know, division in politics. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago where I could have gone anywhere in New York City and been totally welcomed and, you know, gotten in and not have to worry about nonsense or the harassment of half the people that have attacked us over the last few years. We used to have dinner with those people, quite literally, not even just people like them, but the actual people. And it just shows you sort of what exists outside of that world and how fabricated it is. And so, no, this was the greatest move I could have ever done. I can't believe it. It's just great.
So you and Kimberly are a real item.
We are. I mean, we're engaged, and we have a great house together, and raising our kids together. And she's a great woman and a great cheerleader and coach for everything that I've done. And my life has changed a lot just getting so involved in the political process and being out there as a fighter. And she's just been someone awesome to have in your corner.
I can tell you, she's a real warrior, and she's a real lawyer. She's sharp as can be. And you have become, in many respects on your own, a public figure, a political figure. You think you'll run for office one day?
You never know. There may be that calling. Right now, I sort of feel like I can almost do more out of office because, you know, I can put a lot of pressure on a lot of people. There's people that trust me because they realize that, you know, I didn't have to do this stuff. I can assure you it was much easier to just be a real estate developer from New York City. I could have shut up about my politics, but I actually believe this stuff. You know, it's not a soundbite to get elected. Again, I would have been much more comfortable just sitting there being quiet and not doing anything, but I believe this stuff. I believe in our country. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in all of the liberties that, you know, so many people in politics especially throw around as soundbites. This stuff means something to me. I have 5 young kids. I want to make sure they grow up in a country they recognize, and so I've just sort of you know, in a very Trump way, just gotten all in hard, and I'm willing to have those fights.
Fantastic family, and you're one of the reasons why. Ladies and gentlemen, we salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our trucker friends, all of our friends. God bless each and every one of you. Happy birthday, my son, Chase. See you tomorrow.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and wants to help you grow your own eatable groceries. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom vegetables you couldn't find in the store. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Gold Leaf Nursery, back open Wednesday through Saturday.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of 2 middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Oh. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us. What shall we
do about them? The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. An effort by Democrats to codify Roe v. Wade abortion access as federal law has failed in the Senate.
It was an almost party-line vote.
The yeas are 49, the nays are 51.
Which means?
The motion is not agreed to.
Well, I am angry. And I'm disappointed.
Washington Democrat Patty Murray says Senate Republicans will not override women's voices.
They may have spoken out today. They may feel they've won today. But women of America, it's time for us to stand up and fight, and that is exactly what we're going to do.
Texas Republican John Cornyn says this goes way beyond the status quo.
It's the Abortion on Demand Act, without restrictions. Without limitations.
Few Republican senators spoke in favor of ending abortion access, but they embraced the filibuster to block the bill from advancing. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Inflation cooled off slightly in April as the pace of both yearly and monthly price growth dropped, according to data released Wednesday by the Labor Department. More from correspondent Bernie Bennett.
The Consumer Price Index, the Labor Department's closely watched gauge of inflation, rose 8.3% over the past 12 months to 0.3% in April alone. The CPI rose 8.5% annually in March and a whopping 1.2% in that month alone. Economists expect inflation to slow slightly more than it did in April as gas and oil prices decline from a peak driven by the war in Ukraine. Economists expected annual inflation to drop to 8.1% in March with a 0.2% rise in prices, according to consensus estimates. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Wall Street did not like what it heard. The Dow dropped 326 points to close at 31,834. The NASDAQ lower by 373 points. The S&P 500 dropped 65. Oil up to 105.71 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. More at townhall.com.
Warning, possible recession ahead.
War is raging in Eastern Europe, inflation is at 40-year highs, markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. But all you want is a safe and stress-free retirement. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Nobody wants to run out of money in retirement. That's why as you approach retirement, we work to protect you from volatile markets. So if you want to know how our annuity strategy can go up with the market and never lose money, please pay attention. When the stock market goes up, you lock in your gains. When it goes down, you don't lose a dime, and there are no unnecessary fees. If that sounds too good to be true, it's not. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to use safe, low-fee annuities to build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Authorities in Alabama are still wondering what drove prison employee Vicky White to help a convict charged with attempted murder to escape from jail and evade police for 11 days. Lauderdale County Sheriff Rick Singleton says Vicky White was loved and respected by her coworkers.
We've got 48 employees at the detention center. Vicky knew every single one of them. She's been there 17 years. There might be one or two employees been there longer than she has. And, you know, her age, you know, in her mid-50s, a lot of these correction deputies are in their young 20s. And so, she was like a mother figure to some of them. And not only was she a trainer and a mentor and a coach, but to some of them, she was almost like a mother figure.
Vicky White apparently shot herself to death as deputies closed in on she and escaped convict Casey White. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters reporting. A top Senate Republican has released an investigation concerning a West Coast mayor.
Iowa lawmaker Chuck Grassley says Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti
quote, likely knew or should have known that a former top advisor was allegedly sexually harassing city employees. Grassley's office investigated and released a 23-page report that appears to contradict the mayor's assertion he was unaware of any inappropriate behavior. The Senate is considering Garcetti's nomination to become ambassador to India. That nomination by President Biden has languished for months. Jason Walker reporting.
Police say one person was killed and 10 more were injured in two shootings on Chicago's South Side just 6 hours apart. The shootings happened on Tuesday, the hottest day of the year so far, and serve as a warning that the city's entering the warmest and deadliest time of year. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. How are we doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing good, right?
Yeah.
It's May 11th already.
I'm speaking for all of California.
Yeah, I'm speaking for all of California. I think, you know, we're doing good. It's May 11th. Time is flying.
This year already.
Is going crazy.
I know. Fast.
Right. It's been an interesting week. Weather's been kind of interesting.
You know, I have to say that I am quite happy that Mr. or Mrs., I don't know, whatever you call her, Spring has... keeps rearing her ugly head and holding on, right?
Right.
Like every time I think, you know, summer's going to grab it away, she comes right back.
That's right.
Right.
Are you saying our friend is on the line?
No.
No, I'm just saying I agree.
I've learned the thumbs up. It took me a second again, but I've learned the thumbs up from behind the booth is an agreement.
That's good. So my name is Nigel.
Hi,
and
Nigel.
And you're James.
I am.
Nigel and James show. A little bit of a hybrid. So this evening, let's make it a California Adventure District show.
Yeah.
And
we'll
put some politics aside and go back to our roots. And tie it in with what we're doing from a tourism standpoint.
Yeah.
For those listening who are interested, we are starting a new little venture.
Yes. California Adventure District has been around for a little while.
Yeah.
And that remains.
Yep. Working with many of the counties up here, but obviously there's one county that is not involved in tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to change that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Get Shasta County up to speed, which is really good.
With the rest of California and
the
counties.
Yeah, I think so. I think we deserve it, right?
Uh-huh.
We're kind of missing the boat, some of the benefits of having a robust.
However, with that said, people may ask why are you doing that? And it's because we've, you know, at some point when you stare at something long enough, you kind of start to see the gaps, right?
Right.
Like, and so really for something to truly hold water, all the gaps need to be filled.
Right.
And so we are not here to reinvent the wheel, as you have said. We are here to simply fill in the gap and really support, what's going on here?
Right.
In addition,
well, there's so much to do here. We are missing the boat on a few things, and so for the last year or two years, they've been kind of bridging the gap between Shasta County and Humboldt County. Been out to Humboldt a lot,
yeah.
And every time I go to Humboldt, you know, if you've been in Redding for a long time, you already know. If you're new to Redding or new to Shasta County, then there's two towns on the way to Humboldt, to the beach. One's Weaverville and one's Willow Creek.
Yep. There's more than that, but
well,
those two are...
Where there's the stoplight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And
I was going to say, we were just in Weaverville. Was there a stoplight?
Yeah, I think there's
one.
I think there's one stoplight. And so, and every time I drove through Weaverville, I've been there a bunch of times over the last 12 years, but every time I drove through or I'm driving through Weaverville, I'm on Main Street there, which is amazing.
True old-fashioned Americana.
But I'm always thinking to myself, there's got to be something here, like I'm missing something. And I'm very, very lucky that Mr. Joel from the Trinity Journal reached out and said, hey, you got to come and check us out.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. So you and I made the trek up to...
And Joel's a character, and you know what? You and I looked at him. I was like, oh, he's not from here, but the reality of it is he was born and raised in Hayfork and then left and went all over the place, right, and was cultured by all these cities and then came back, and that's why I was like, you know, you could just tell by his clothes. He looked like kind of a... I don't know. He looked like a San Francisco journalist or a New York or whatever. But then when I found out he was from Hayfork originally and he came back to his roots, I was like, wow, that's amazing.
So that was kind of cool. And so we actually, you and I went up a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And we had a great meeting with a great group of people up in Weirdville on Main Street.
To talk about tourism.
And you were very happy because we went through the sleet and snow. And
oh, yeah, I loved it. That was so fantastic.
Right. And so
still have my shorts and tennies and shirts, t-shirt on.
You're crazy. So one of the gentlemen we met up there is Mr. Scott Watkins. Uh-huh. Mr. Scott, are you here?
He is.
I am.
You are. Welcome to Reading.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
Your vocals are being blasted all over the valley.
Yes.
Okay, well, I hope you can hear me all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. So, Scott, you are with the Trinity County Chamber, correct?
That is correct. I was fortunate enough to be trusted with being the president of the Trinity County Chamber.
So you, was that because somebody owed you a favor, or did you just weaseled your way in there?
I think I missed a meeting, and so they were just like, okay, that guy's not here, he's the new president.
Yeah, default. All right. So listen, it was great to meet you guys the other day.
Yeah.
And I love what you guys are doing. So why don't you give us a little overview of who you are? Are you originally from Trinity County?
No, I'm actually from a small town in the Bay Area called Martinez, California.
Okay.
So I'm a transplant.
So how do you end up in an even smaller town called Weaverville?
Yeah, good question. I never thought an urban designer would wind up living on the frontier. Kind of a wild story, but after grad school, I had some time. I was doing some interactive public art down in San Francisco, and a buddy of mine from business school said, hey, I've got a friend with some property in Hayfork. The 2016 election was coming up, and they thought cannabis was finally going to get voted in, and they thought there might be a business opportunity, and asked me to go take a look, and came up to Hayfork. It was supposed to just be for a couple of weeks, and next thing I know, it's 5 years later.
Oh, wow.
Are you still paying rent on the place you left in the Bay Area then, or what?
No, I'm not. I was living in Oakland, California, and with some friends from grad school, and no, I am not.
All right, cool. So whenever we travel throughout Trinity, and especially Humboldt, we're we keep hearing about, and even here in Shasta County, obviously, we keep hearing about the whole cannabis industry. And from what I understand, it's kind of like a good thing and a bad thing that it was legalized. Is that the same thing for Trinity County?
Yeah, I would say so. There was definitely a major green rush starting as far back as 2011, and it picked up a lot of steam. 2015, 2016, and we're just to the point now where we're really looking at the environmental impacts, and that's pretty much what I do these days, is evaluating the environmental impacts of the cannabis industry and ensuring that those impacts are sensitive to the natural communities. So there's good and there's bad. There's certainly quite a bit of economic opportunity, and there's, you know, it's definitely been a struggle with inventing new policies for, you know, a very old industry.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of interesting.
What would you say is the percentage that of, let's say, the economic development of Trinity that is actually based in cannabis?
You know, that's kind of a tricky equation to kind of solve. I was, as a matter of fact, just on a call this afternoon looking at that very thing. And we had some experts from, I think, Alabama and Utah or something. And they were kind of going through all the numbers, and they kept having this little asterisk that said, cannabis is not recognized by the federal government, so really hard for us to evaluate what that impact is. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's pretty hard to find many folks up this way that aren't touched one way or another, whether directly or indirectly, by the industry.
That's right.
It's pretty prevalent, especially in Hayfork. There's some really great stuff going on, and there's definitely some roads that you probably don't want to go down.
Mm-hmm. Or if you do, go very fast in a big truck. So, can you hold over for the next break?
Sure.
Awesome. So this is the end of the first segment. When we come back, we want to get into the actual business of the chamber and see how you guys do.
I still have a couple questions.
You have a couple questions.
On cannabis, yeah.
Oh, you do?
My mind is, like, swirling. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, Scott, hold on, and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel Heaton, James Mazzotta.
Hello, hello.
Scott, are you still with us?
I am. Yeah.
10 points if you recognize the song.
You know what that is?
80s Child.
I do recognize that.
All right, good. All right, so we were talking about the cannabis industry in Trinity County.
Yeah.
And my good buddy James has like 700 questions for you. He's going
to
condense
them. I'm going to try to narrow them down. So, of course, I am completely naive when it comes to this whole thing, legal or illegal or however it's working. But, I mean, how is this transformed? I mean, like, if somebody decided that they were going to move from wherever to Hayfork and they wanted to grow and be legitimate, I mean, do you go to some kind of government, a county office, and have to pull permits? I mean, is there, like, you know, land management requirements? Do you have to own land? Can you just use public land? I mean, I just don't understand how all this works.
Yeah, that's a lot of really good questions. You certainly need authorization to cultivate in California's licensed cannabis marketplace. Our firm is actually a really good stop on that journey, so to speak. There's all sorts of different regulations. I call it an ecosystem of regulations that exists out there for the cannabis industry. And long story short, we've developed an assessment tool to look at any property and quickly evaluate whether or not it's going to be eligible for being a cannabis farm.
Okay.
You definitely need permits. Through the planning department, most likely through the building department and others. And it's a process.
Okay.
You know, it's a process you start at that at this point is taking a year, 2 years to get through, depending on the elements of a specific property that you're looking at.
Wow.
And what you want to do on it. It's just like any other entitlement that you would get for rezoning your property if you wanted to open up a cafe and it's in a use or a zoning district that maybe isn't a traditional for a cafe.
Uh-huh.
There's a process for that, just like with anything.
Okay.
So do you find many people moving from Bay Area or other areas specifically to Trinity County to do this?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. A lot of places talk about a brain drain, like all their youth are in brightest and best are moving away from their town. I actually see a major influx happening. There's a lot of folks coming from all over the world, not just the Bay Area or, you know, Southern California, Los Angeles, but from the East Coast, from Florida, from all over. And that's because there are a few elements of Trinity County that you just can't replicate, even on the indoors. There's the elevation and a bunch of science stuff that, honestly, I really don't understand. with elevation, clean air, clean water, and some other things like that, it just grows differently up here. And it's unique, and it's world class.
It's probably what makes the trees so magical there too, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's why so many people actually claim to see Bigfoot, because the cannabis is so good.
Yeah.
So what about the rest of the industry in Trinity County? Like, are you seeing a growth or an influx of people in general into Trinity County from a Chamber of Commerce standpoint?
Yeah, there is quite a bit of growth, and there's a lot more than simply cannabis going on in Trinity County. Looking at just the events happening around the community, you know, show that in spades, so to speak. There's farmers markets. There's the Trinity Heritage Day that's happening on May 21st, really celebrating the sort of the frontier days of Trinity County's past. There's a peddler's fair coming up on June 4th. There'll be a lot of small businesses there with their goods. There's an event called Function at the Junction that's going to be a great all-day music festival on June 18th. And so with these different community events, and I can't forget the 4th of July. You said old Americana. The 4th of July in Weaverville is
the quintessential. Quintessential 4th of July.
It's really cool. So, you know, we're building sort of commerce around these major annual and seasonal events. And, you know, folks come up and maybe they come for the 4th of July, but they get a hold of the fishing guide, the Trinity fishing guide, and go for a fishing trip, and then come into town and do the 4th of July celebrations. There's just all sorts of stuff going on. There's the LaGrange Classic Bicycle Competition happening June 11th.
Mm-hmm.
For all the mountain bike enthusiasts, there's going to be a ton of stuff happening the weekend of June 11th. Tons of good food, lots of music in the park. First Saturdays in Weaverville's got music in the park and an art walk happening. All the businesses in downtown Weaverville are open, and you can check out a lot of really great art, wide spectrum of art, you know, painting, smaller stuff.
So I did notice, you know, because we kind of look at the tourism numbers on a semi-regular basis, and obviously California as a whole took a big dive in 2020 because of COVID, and some of the counties made like half a comeback to what their 2019 levels were. Some areas are dead, like the San Francisco Bay Area. I mean, I think they're down, I don't even know how much percentage, and I don't think they're going to recover. But Trinity County was one of the very few counties that actually in 2021, Trinity County surpassed their 2019 tourism dollars coming into the community. Is that something that you that was obviously probably not planned, because I don't know if anybody could have planned 2021. But were you surprised to see that in Trinity County?
Not really. You know, it's so remote. The Trinity Alps wilderness area is really remote, and given the conditions that the rest of the world has been in over the last couple of years, I think a lot of folks were looking to get out and about and go somewhere new. And I think there's like 600 miles of trails in the Trinity Alps wilderness.
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing.
And there's something for everybody. There's mountain biking, there's motorcycles, hiking, horses, tons and tons and tons of mountain biking.
So
Weber Basin Trail System.
Yeah, one of the things we noticed in the California Adventure District is people were searching for how to get off the grid. And I would say Trinity County exemplifies how to be off the grid if you really want to be, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So how about you? Do you personally, like, go out hiking, biking, fishing, trailing? What do you actually partake of the wilderness out there?
Yeah, you know, my wife and I love the East Weber Trail System. There's a campground out there, so you can kind of set up a base camp and do a few different loops. We like going out to some of the trails along the Trinity Lake.
Mm-hmm.
The trails are right at the lake's edge. The Tannery Gulch campground is one of our favorites. But since we have a three-year-old the last couple of years, we have been slowed down. And, you know, what we look for in that outdoor experience has evolved, as it naturally would with any new parents. And that's one of the great things that we found is, you know, there's stuff for the real adventure seekers and the hardcore hiking up in the Alps. But there's also a lot of really great facilities for young families. Lakeview Terrace Resorts up by the lake is a really great example of that. The Lewiston Hotel in Lewiston. There's lakes all over the county, and I hear folks from Redding, they say, you know, we've got lakes, we've got hiking. Mm-hmm. And I hear that, you know, there's some really great spots in Redding. But, you know, when you're ready to do something new, for a new challenge, I think that Trinity County's here, and they've got great facilities. The Trinity Trail Alliance is doing great upgrades on the trail systems out there, the Watershed Center in Hayfork. There's a lot of really great stuff going on in this community.
And I'm
proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, and realistically, I mean, when we went up there yesterday, I think that's just me because I'm not a huge fan of driving, but the drive was nothing. I mean, it really...
And it's a beautiful drive.
And it's a beautiful drive, yeah. I mean, when I saw the mileage on the sign and I thought, that's really as far... I mean, that's it? It just, you know, obviously it takes a little longer because it's windy, but, you know, it's not more than just driving to, like, Red Bluff for us. And so, to me, it, you know, I just have to get past that mental barrier. But once you kind of do that, you know, to go to Weaverville and experience your incredible, you know, lovely, true, authentic Americana downtown and be able to have access to so many things literally right off of that road, you know, I mean, I love Redding, and there's tons to do here, too. But, you know, it is nice to actually go out and explore your very close neighbor like that and see what they have to offer. And, you know, we, and forgive me, maybe you guys can help me, but where we were when we met, the store there was fantastic.
Yep. Well, we have Ryan. She's coming on.
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Owner of the store. She's coming on.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great store and great lunch, and I was just like, this place is cool. I mean, it was close enough to just drive up and have lunch and do something, shop, and come home.
And so we kind of got the vibe too. With the people at the meeting that there's definitely a pride, right, of Weaverville and Trinity County, and a desire to see some, growth is kind of a weird word, but I noticed that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of really great community events going on, and everyone's rallying together and working collaboratively to create very inviting, opportunities for folks to come on up and have some fun.
If you were to list maybe from a visitor and a tourist standpoint some things that are missing or that are opportunities, like if somebody's listening and, you know, they're a millionaire, a billionaire, and they go, they're looking for something to do, something to put some money in.
A billionaire.
Whatever. Well, there's a bunch of those now.
Yeah, I know.
You know, what would you say that Weaverville is missing?
More lodging. I'd say that there's really great campgrounds. There's tons of camping up here. But we could really use a new hotel. I actually did speak with a billionaire not too long ago who was looking in Lewiston at putting in a hotel. And I think that that's a great opportunity. I think it's something that could be very successful.
Yeah, I would agree.
So would you be the guy to talk to if we run into a billionaire tomorrow or next day?
Sure. I think I'm a good starting spot, and I'll help you out until you can find somebody better.
That's very good. So you moved up there 5 years ago. Right? And yep. So we have 1 minute left. So do you see yourself having been, are you like planted now? Green intended. Are you like, is this your home?
You know, I'm not sure what the future holds, but I'm definitely enjoying the ride while I'm on it.
Awesome. Well, Mr. Scott Watkins, thank you very much. How can people reach you?
They can give me a call or they can check out our website. Our company is called Bilderberg, Bilderberg.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be pretty easy to find, or you can just run into me around downtown Weaverville.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you
right.
Can.
Thank you very much, my
thank
friend.
You.
And we look forward to coming up again soon.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So it's time for us to take a break.
Time for us to take a break.
And when we come back, I think we may have our next guest on the phone, or
we'll
should be calling in shortly.
She's calling
in. Oh, she's calling in now. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll talk to you when we get right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel Skeet and my good friend, James Mazzotta.
Cohort.
Yeah, cohort. Nigel and James Radio Show. We're doing a California Adventure District version of the show tonight, which is great. And we've been talking about Weaverville.
Our great
and
little trip.
Right, we had a great time.
Thelma and Louise.
Kind of like one of those secret places, quiet places that's easy to get to from Reading.
Yeah, when we left, you said, it's, you know, James, it's 39 degrees up there. And I was like, oh, no, we're fine. And as we're driving, it started to hail. And then there was snow on the side of the road.
And you're still wearing shorts.
Yeah, yeah. And I was fine with that. But I was like, wow, this is so weird.
So I've met some really cool people up there lately.
You have.
And we went up the other day. And we had a great meeting. And
you did.
One of the people we met is Ryan Crockett. Ryan, are you on the line?
I am here.
Hello,
welcome.
Ryan.
How are you, Ryan?
Good. How are you, gentlemen?
That's
good.
Awesome. So, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for grilled cheese, anything grilled cheese.
And I love grilled cheese, too, but I didn't really know how much I liked grilled cheese until after our trip.
Well, who doesn't love a bougie grilled cheese?
Oh, my gosh, that's so good.
one of the biggest celebrities of the California Adventure District is, of course, Bigfoot. Mm. So I was very happy to see the Sasquatch grilled cheese on your menu.
Yes.
That was definitely an easy no-brainer when I went to make the menu. Right. I had to naturally pull the characters among us up here.
I get it.
So Sasquatch was easy and the first pick.
So, Ryan, why don't you give us summary of
Shakedown,
who
breakdown.
You are, where you're from, and how you ended up on Main Street in Weaverville.
Okay, got it. So, originally born and raised in Sutter County, my husband's Yuba County. We transplanted up here in 2015 for his job. And went to school or went to work at my kid's school. Got a job there, everything fine, life was great, and then COVID hit, and we all got sent home. I had to go home and be with my children every day, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is not for me. I'm not this type. So ever since we had moved in 2015, I always thought, man, town just needs a really nice big ice cream shop. It's just crazy. We don't have one. And so when COVID hit, you know, so many people kept putting the little thought towards me. And then finally I thought, well, if I can grab one of these really cute little buildings on Main Street here, I'll make it happen. And sure enough, the cutest little spot was open, grabbed that up, and then have been selling ice cream like crazy ever since.
Well, and ice cream is just a plus for your location. I mean, after visiting you and obviously meeting you, you're absolutely delightful and such a warm host. And but you have a store that's attached to it, and I likened it to the Enjoy store, which I have. I feel like it's almost like a sister store, you know, up there.
Exactly.
In feel and thought and, you know, that kind of thing. So you have a beautiful store with tons and tons of really cool merchandise, some local, some from American Fair, from all over. And you've got great, you know, hats and shirts and, you know, handmade jams and all that kind of stuff. And then, lo and behold, when I was, you know, going through the place, I thought, this place is great. And then, of course, obviously you had the ice cream. But you guys also just recently opened up a food section, or a small restaurant, which you were saying was being pushed heavily by tourism, that you know, line out the door sometimes for people for ice cream, but people are clamoring for, like, you know, just some more traditional foods. And you've done an amazing job at that, too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we sell a lot of ice cream here. Our ice cream comes from a distributor in Reading. And they cannot believe how awesome, how much we're selling up here. They're like, you've got to sell more ice cream north of Chico. You know, you're definitely in the top five ice cream shops north of Chico selling, you know, volume-wise. So, yeah, we would get a lot of tourists stop downtown and come in and go, oh, I'm looking for real food. And I would always say, well, we don't have that. And they would always say, well, I might be back. And I thought, well, I don't like that word might be back. Right. So when the spot next to us came available, the building owner offered it. And, of course, you know, I had no intention to ever put real food in. But, man, it's been popular ever since we opened.
Yeah.
And it's doing really well.
And you have a limited menu, but it's well within, you know, most people's wheelhouses and choices.
Yeah, but you could live off of that every day.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean that specifically. I mean, you were talking, and that's where we were, what we're trying to lead to, is you have a whole, you know, a small menu of gourmet, or as you said, bougie, you know, grilled cheese. But, like, my eyes rolled back in my head. I mean.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I have a couple of girls that work there, and we really worked hard on coming out with something good, because, you know, it's grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't drive out of their way for grilled cheese, but we made a couple
after
really
that.
Good. Yeah, no, those were pretty good, huh? And so we just made what we liked.
Yeah.
We just made, you know, what was good to us, put it on the menu, and it's becoming, we haven't done a lot of marketing or advertisement for it. We kind of wanted to kind of feel it out for a couple months, make sure we got everything worked out before we went and hit it hard, marketing-wise. But
okay, so
it does pretty good. The locals are happy.
So one of the main reasons I picked you out to call in is because when I met Joel, Joel was awesome to reach out, and he said, you got to come and check out Main Street in Weaverville and some of the new people that have businesses on Main Street. And so the fact that you moved in during COVID, so what, that makes it 2020 or 2021?
June of 2020. I'm one of four new businesses that opened up during COVID. And speaking on that a little bit further, their town or Main Street or downtown Weaverville, from what I'm hearing from other business owners, it was kind of a lull. It was kind of a dry spell that it was experiencing. And when COVID hit, some of the businesses couldn't survive. They packed up and opened up these storefronts for some of the other businesses to come in. Our brewery opened up in the middle of COVID, We got a really cute little arts and crafts store that opened up, and then the Hub, which is like kind of like an internet cafe, opened up downtown Weaverville. And I don't have much to compare pre-COVID to my numbers now, but what I hear from, because I'm always listening about the tourism and the numbers, that tourism was up 300% in 2020, or summer of 2020, because our COVID numbers were so low.
Yeah.
A lot of our families, and we can spot non-locals the minute they walk in the door. So we always, yeah, we always strike the conversation. Oh, where are you from? Where are you guys coming from? What are you guys headed, where are you headed to? It was time after time, it was families coming up from the bigger cities, San Francisco, L.A. area, that usually hit the Tahoe area for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But because Tahoe was shut down, their numbers were high, they came to this side of the valley.
Yeah.
And a lot of first-time visits in 2020, and a lot of the resorts up there by the lake report that they felt tourism was up 300% comparative. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting, and we have just been slammed ever since. And so we try really hard to market outside our area into Shasta County and Humboldt County so that those folks that do pass through make a point to stop.
Yeah.
And I think we feel like they do.
Yeah. Before we forget, what's actually, you have a prime location, but what's the name of your store?
It's Up North Confectionery and Mercantile.
Right, okay.
And then recently we just added an eatery to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure where the verbiage comes. But it's mostly Up North, kept it kind of simple, easy to remember. And
when you say Up North, obviously you're up north, but you're at the northern end of the Main Street, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
The northwest.
Northwest,
side,
yes.
Of Main
Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it seemed like for me when I walked in there, I would have never guessed that it was a fairly new adventure. I mean, it felt like it'd been there forever.
Yeah. So my target is to have that old fashioned country mountain store.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we make homemade fresh waffle cones every day. We may not need to make them. We make them. We get
just
that smell
that
out of
smell,
Main Street.
Yeah. Well, that was the first thing.
Yeah.
You guys take them home.
Open the door, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, we play the bluegrass music. We really want to, we're selling an experience
to
folks that live in the city that come up. This is what they're trying to,
and it totally fits that bill. So congratulations, because that's exactly
it
what
did,
I felt when I walked in.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
So have you connected with the other businesses on Main Street? Is there a, like, especially the new ones, is there some kind of network of, hey, you're the newbie too?
Yeah, so I recently have started organizing my energy now that the store is up and going and doing its thing. My next parameter is downtown. What do we got to do? We got to figure out how to promote downtown. What are some physical things we can do down here? We've had a tree planted at the bandstand to still a planter. I lined white rockers in front of our store so that folks could sit and rock and look at the Alps. But I have recently reached out to the downtown business and organization owners via email to create some kind of communication and, what can we do to try to promote this place? Our customers are all the same. Everybody's customers are the same. So
yeah.
If we can promote the shoe store and somebody comes up just to buy shoes, then I know they're going to walk the rest of downtown.
Yeah. That's all you need to do is get them to come, or when they're driving through, to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if they buy the and if they buy the ice cream and the grilled cheese, they're going to need new shoes to walk it off.
Exactly.
Well, ice cream really is, you know, and I've done a lot of research and study. Ice cream is magic for that kind of environment because it's kind of that nostalgic and old fashioned, and everybody, you know, you stop. Oh, let's get a scoop of ice cream. Right. Once you have it in hand, you want to walk. And,
yeah,
you know, so you lick your cone or eat out of your cup and you walk up one side and down the other just because you're eating yours, and you get to, it's part of the experience with ice cream.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it's funny because with COVID coming, the two industries that just skyrocketed because of COVID and the lockdowns, one was ice cream and the other was alcohol. And, those two industries, I'm being told. And so it, we're still feeling the effects. There are still certain limitations on flavors that I can't get because the packaging and because volume is up and the packaging is down. And so we're still feeling the hard hits from the
supply chain
industry just exploding.
Yep.
So you mentioned that there was a period of time where you actually had a line of people around outside the store.
Yeah. So speaking of 4th of July, Weaverville, all of the nonprofits like our Lions Club, our Rotary Club, our chambers, like all of these nonprofits, pro-tourism, they come together and they throw the biggest four-day-long event. It is huge. It takes 4 days to get it all in. There's fireworks one night. There's a parade one night. They have a rodeo come in. There's even like pickleball tournaments and cornhole. So we have a huge crowd of people that come up and just fill town up completely. It's so much so that some of our locals will actually leave town for that weekend because it's just so amazing. It's just inundated with people.
Sounds like
and
magic.
So on that, it is. It is your true Hallmark experience, the Hallmark Channel experience up here for 4th of July. And Christmas is another one. Anyway, so for 4th of July, they run the parade down Main Street, and we open early, and the minute the parade is over, a line forms, and it goes down out our door, down and around the corner. and every year so far, I feel like I've prepared for it, and I'm never prepared for it. So we just underwent a huge remodel to prepare for the volume of people.
I have a feeling that this year is going to be crazy. Hey, Ryan, can you hold on for the next segment?
Yeah,
awesome.
For sure.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least three realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. This is Nigel, and we've got James, and we're having a good little chat about Weaverville, the new energy that's happening in Weaverville. If you're new to Reading, because we have a lot of new people moving into Reading over the last year or two, and you're looking for a great place to escape to for the day, Weaverville is magic, and it's part of the California Adventure District that we're doing. And some of the new people who've moved in are awesome and doing new businesses, and we have Ryan Crockett. Ryan, are you still on there?
I am here.
And we just got reminded to remind people the name of your business, because, you know, the moment you said ice cream, they want to come.
Yeah, it's Up North Confectionery Mercantile. And recently we just added the eatery. So we have about 24 rotating flavors of ice cream and a full mercantile with just about everything's U.S. made. We hit the local scene as much as we can, and then we kind of work ourselves out from there. But a lot like James was saying, the Enjoy store, we feel like we kind of represent that local goods store in our town.
Definitely.
So you mentioned when people walk in, you can tell right away that they're visitors or, you know, tourists. So what does one need to wear to not look like a tourist?
It's more or less just the familiar face. Weaverville is such a charming little town that you cannot go to the grocery store without being stopped 20 times to chit-chat with people. you pretty much drive down Main Street or in the whole stretch of town with just your hand up waving. Like, you just know everybody. And so it's just the familiar face when they walk in that we, you know, sometimes I get it wrong, but most of the time we kind of can guess.
There's just something after you've been in retail for a long time, you get it. As I even do it, you know, and Reading is so much bigger than Weaverville, but, you know, there still is that familiar faces. And then you just, they come in and they have a presence. There's just something that, you know, that they have, and you're kind of like, you know, I always ask, I don't recognize you. You live here in Reading? Oh, no. I was like, okay, well, I knew that.
So, same thing here. So we own the toy store in the Mount Shasta Mall, and Ryan, I believe you've been in the toy store. And so
I sleep with that place,
You know, there's the same thing there. Lots of regulars, and you can always tell when somebody's not from here.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
So, so how have the locals received your business?
Oh, they loved it. We have our, I feel like we see just about everybody in town. I haven't quite met a local in a while that has said, oh, I haven't been in here before. Everyone is just constant compliments and, you know, they're very thankful that we're here. Being not from, I mean, I didn't own a shop prior to this, but a lot of people, you know, say, oh, you brought some life back downtown. There's kids walking around down here. There's people hanging out. So we're really, you know, happy to be able to bring a little bit of life back down here, downtown here, and kind of get people moving around.
I like the kids' clothing store next door to you, right?
Yeah, Mountain Goat Kids. They're another new shop.
Right,
so I guess you can say they opened during COVID. They opened last year. Cute little kids shop. It's from infants on up. And they're two moms. They each have three kids. And this is just kind of their little COVID baby, if you want to call it. But it is the cutest little boutique. They carry really high-end things and then, you know, all the way through the affordable things, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, when we had our grilled cheese sandwich, I was trying to get just to communicate a little bit about it. When you say grilled cheese, you know, I just think of a brown piece of bread that's been buttered and some orange cheese on it, right? And then you gourmet it up. Somebody might say, oh, I put some avocado or some bacon on it. And that's like, that doesn't even kind of qualify what yours were like. So I don't remember what mine was called, but I had, mine was, I think, two different types of cheese, turkey, and then it had a jam and pesto.
Yeah. Yours was, so we have the Sasquatch, which was what Nigel had. We named one the Lumberjack. We also have Smokey Bear. Mm. And then you had the Prospector.
Prospector, that's right.
Which is our newest one that we were just running as a special, and our locals just went crazy for it. So we thought, okay, we got
to
put it on.
Well, and it was hard for me to choose. I let the girl behind the counter choose for me, and she gave me the Prospector, which I was more than happy with.
Yeah,
but I was going to go with the Sasquatch because I love cheese and nuts. And so yours was two different types of cheeses, and then what else was on there? Jam and nuts.
So the Sasquatch is, the Sasquatch is cream cheese, Havarti, brie, huckleberry jam, and pecans. And so the slogan for that challenge is that Bigfoot picks the nuts and berries.
See, I didn't even care what the ingredients were. It just tasted good.
It was amazing. And then I thought that was it for us, right? And then Nigel said, I'll be right back. I'm going to get ice cream. And you came back with ice cream, and it was just like as big as my head.
We have portion control problems here. We serve... everyone complains that our scoop sizes are just too big.
How could you complain?
And then we have folks that come up. I know. We have folks that come up from the Bay Area, and they were like, you're not making any money scooping like this. I'm like, no, we're fine. It'll be fine. But, you know, they're just used for higher prices, and so they just go, you charge more. You need to charge more.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about what you're doing, and I think there's quite a few people in Weaverville that do this, and I see the same thing in Humboldt. But the fact that you come down to Reading, so it's still local, to buy most of your supplies.
Yeah, so I source what I can, but I still, and I feel like I can speak on behalf of everybody that lives up here, you still have to do your Reading run. once a day, once a week, and or more. And it's not, it's literally 45 minutes. You can run down there, pick up some of the stuff you can't buy locally.
It'll take longer to run.
yes, it's a running run. But every time I hit downtown, I come off, you know, I ride into downtown, and I make that turn in front of the Enjoy store, and I'm like, oh, a parking spot's open. I'm coming in. And so I always try to make a point to hit a couple shops, maybe something I haven't been into yet, cruise a little downtown. And then I always stop at an ice cream shop down there, too, just because I love ice cream.
Yeah.
even though I can get it for free up here, I still, you know, check it out down there. And so, yeah, you still have to do your running run. I still run down there and pick up a couple supplies. I think I feel like every business.
I'm trying to think, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, is there a possibility for somebody to have a business that's just all they do is go back and forth between Reading and Weaverville and pick up for people?
I know, right? I employ mostly high school kids. I like to be their first employer so I can teach them all the good habits. And so I have a lot of local folks that are, you know, they suggest you need to have one of them become an Uber or a Uber Eats.
A Dash or something,
Yeah, something up here. Because,
well, we just
have a lot of great eateries.
We just had Scott on from the chamber, so maybe we should have a little chat.
Right.
I'm actually getting ready to go have a meeting with Scott and the Trinity Chamber here. It started.
That's excellent.
Started here shortly. So,
you've been in Weaverville a few years now. So when you come to Reading, does Reading feel like a big city?
No, it doesn't. It still definitely has a small town feel. I'm still learning all the ways to get from one end of the town to the other efficiently. But we will, like, you know, we'll go looking for something to do. We'll head down to Reading or go drive around or check out something new. But no, I definitely don't feel lost like a big city lost in Reading. I still feel small town there. Yeah. It's a very polite town. Everyone's very, very polite.
Do you ever go the other way, like to Willow Creek and Humboldt?
Yep, we travel, and that's what's a perk about Weaverville is we're 2 hours from the coast, an hour from Reading, 3 hours from Sacramento. We're like at the back door of Shasta, Mount Shasta, and like 3 hours from Medford. So we hit all those areas often, and we cruise through and always stop in Willow Creek on our way to the coast, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. Again, we, you know, just like Trinity County, I'm sure, but Reading, over the course of the COVID, over the course of a couple of years, a lot of people moved out, but we've had a lot of people move in. So we have a lot of new residents in Reading.
Yeah, lots of new residents.
And we noticed that in the Enjoy store and people listening. And so one of the things we like to share with the newbies is things to do, right? I mean, you're new to Reading, and what do you do here? And so one of the reasons for the whole California Adventure District is to try and encourage people to stay within our region. And our region is 38,000 square miles, so plenty of room to roam. But a great place to go is Weaverville. And the thing about me now, so I'm over in Humboldt on a pretty regular basis, and I would always drive through Weaverville and go, okay, there's got to be something here. So now I have a place to stop off. And,
yep.
You know, that's awesome.
Well, definitely for us, my family and I, when if we go over to the coast, that's where we're stopping. We're stopping. I'm excited to say I would stop to get a grilled cheese and some ice cream and then get back in the car and continue.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. We happens a lot. We have a lot of folks that do that.
So now that I'm assuming you're not volunteering at the school anymore.
No, I still go volunteer out there for different reasons and help out. I'm still the PTA involved with that, so I do help out there, and I help out with different events downtown.
Do you do special ice cream days for the school?
Yes, we do. In fact, the last day of school, one of our businesses, Oakley's Pest Control, buys every kid ice cream that walks in the door on the last day of school. So
that's
a super crazy day.
That's so cool.
And we have a lot of, we do a lot of teachers.
Is there an age limit?
I know, right? We're all kids.
That's great. Awesome.
So, yeah, we do have some different fun little things that happen downtown and in the store.
Well, listen, we want to thank you for coming on.
Yes.
We had a great time up in Weaverville. I'm glad there are some changes going on and that you guys are doing good. How can people find you besides driving up there?
Yeah, drive up and get some ice cream. I'm a pretty active on our social media accounts, Instagram and Facebook. We have a TikTok, but I just let the girls that work for me run that, so I can't vouch for its content. But we're just about daily posters, and if there's something fun going
on, up
we'll
north.
Definitely post. It's Up North Ice Cream on Instagram and Up North Confectionery Mercantile on Facebook.
Awesome.
Thank you
very much. Thank you very much,
yeah.
Ryan. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.